There are two people in particular who I met. One of their names was Francis. The other one's name was James. Both of them would talk about their struggles and how hard it is to not have a home, to be living in a tent in the middle of Atlanta when it's really hot out or when it's really cold out. And then them saying, but I know that God is good.
I'm Adira Polite, and this is Then God Moved.
How's it going?
Good. Hi, Adrian. Are you at work?
No, I am at my home.
Okay. It's so funny being on Zoom for the first time with like certain friends. Like, you look so professional in this setting.
Really? My little LL Bean?
Yeah, your LL Bean jacket. I'm glad you said yes to this. I didn't know if you were going to.
Me too. It was an easy yes.
I was like, will she say yes? Adrian is the founder of Keep Atlanta Warm, which is an organization that works to give blankets and other necessities to houseless people in Atlanta. She's worked with a lot of different shelters in Atlanta and food banks, and I volunteered once with her last year, and it was really awesome to see you. You were thriving, honestly. I feel like you were in your
thriving.
Element. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I feel like you were just walking in purpose, doing your thing, and yesterday, I think it was just yesterday, that I saw you post saying, hey, I'm doing it again, and she's raising money, and I was like, you could just come share your story, share your heart for the houseless. I think it's actually very important because a lot of Christians seem to think that helping the poor is optional when it's actually a command of Jesus. So thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
I would love to share a little bit about who you are. So we can talk about your background, but then also if you want to share a little bit about how you found your place here in Atlanta and how you started this ministry.
Yeah, that's great. I grew up in a family that doesn't really know the Lord. Most of my family doesn't really know the Lord. And so, you know, we went to church on Sundays, but it was kind of one of those just, this is what you're supposed to do. I remember thinking, okay, it's Sunday, we go to church, that's what you're supposed to do, but not really having an intimate relationship with the Lord. And so fast forward to my junior year of high school. Also, if you hear my dog in the background, he likes to obnoxiously squeak his toy while he knows I'm on the phone.
Friday.
But yeah, Friday. Love that guy. But anyways, I continue to go through the motions. And then my junior year of high school, one of my really close friends passed away. And I remember just shutting everyone out. I didn't go into therapy. I didn't really do anything about it. I kind of just sat in it and let myself be miserable. And it was really hard. And it was like that, you know, I just struggled with really deep depression and suicidal thoughts for, gosh, probably a year and a half. And then my senior year of high school, I went to a ministry down in Noonan, Georgia. I used to take photos. I used to be a photographer. So I remember reaching out and offering to take photos at this event without, again, not really having an intimate relationship with the Lord. And so I ended up going to that event that night. I remember being surrounded by a bunch of worshipers who you could tell genuinely loved the Lord. And I remember that night hearing this message based off of Lamentations 3. And really that night I put my faith in Jesus.
Wait, what was Lamentations 3 and how did that prompt you to put your faith in Jesus?
That's a good question. So Lamentations 3, specifically starting in verse 21, 22, it says, yet this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. And this is where we get the verse, great is your faithfulness. And then it says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. I lack nothing. I remember hearing those words and my friend Caleb is the one who spoke and I ended up becoming really great friends with him and the other leaders of the ministry. But he was speaking from this perspective of all that Jeremiah had been through that got up to that point with the fall of his home to Babylon. And he was talking about that and the deep depression, the deep feelings that Jeremiah was feeling, even though he knew that those things were coming, how he had lost everything. And the first half of Lamentations 3 is really sad. He talks about how the Lord has crushed his teeth with gravel. There's so much imagery and it makes you sad just reading it. But then it's like something switches in Lamentations 3, verse 21. And yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Mm. And I remember hearing that message in the middle of being really depressed. And it was like something clicked for me. And I was like, that's how I feel. I feel this deep sadness that Jeremiah was feeling, but then having this hope of, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. And Caleb really talked about that night. Instead of thinking God was good, but then this happened, reframe your thinking to this happened, but God is still good. He's still faithful. And that night was just so special for me. I really left being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember that night raising my hands in worship for the first time, genuinely, not just because the other people around me were doing it, but because I was actually worshiping God for who he is and praising him for what he's done.
Wow.
And I still struggled with depression after that. It wasn't an immediate, all right, boom, I'm fixed. Mm-hmm. Nothing's wrong with me anymore. It was like, no, I still struggle with those things, but I had this new hope in Jesus that I didn't know about before.
Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? Sorry, but what does that mean? Because I think a lot of people might be like, okay, what did that really mean? Like, what were you actually holding on to? Like, what was it about the teaching that changed at least the way you were living or the way you were thinking about your suffering?
Yeah, that's good. I think when I think about someone teaching or giving a sermon, we should all walk away from it knowing God more deeply. Mm-hmm. It's not so much about an action step that someone can provide us. Although action steps are always great and helpful, it's not about the action step. It's about knowing God's character more deeply. I walked away that night knowing more deeply that I can trust him, that he is trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are action steps in that. If I know that he's trustworthy, then my action step is I can trust him. More tangibly, that might look like surrendering my depression to him, surrendering suicidal thoughts to him, surrendering any other emotions or feelings or situations that I'm dealing with to him. That is what I really walked away with that night. And like I said, it didn't fix everything, but it helped me to kind of just recognize that he's consistent, that he's faithful, and putting it into the perspective of, wow, Jeremiah was this prophet who knew what was happening because the Lord told him, and yet he still felt this deep sadness, and yet he still had this deep hope and trust in the Lord and what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what was really encouraging for me, knowing that in this life, there is trouble. I'm going to continue to face different battles and different difficult situations, but I know that he is good. Mm. And I still remember those verses from Lamentations. And even a couple years ago when COVID first happened, I was having a really tough time with a couple things. And I remember I would literally lay in bed and repeat those verses out loud over and over and over again until I fell asleep. It reminds me of the power of scripture and of knowing scripture, not just for the sake of saying, oh yeah, I memorized this verse, but it's like, no, I know this verse and this helps me know God more deeply. Mm-hmm. And so I can keep it in my pocket to recall who he is when I forget, or when I lose trust.
That's good. That's good. How in those early days did you make sense of the existence of God, which you were now like certain of, and the continuation of suffering, not just your own suffering, but just suffering in general? Because I think that also gets to your ministry now, which you now are looking head on at deep material suffering, people who do not have what they need to survive day in, day out. How do you make sense of that sort of suffering and God's existence at the same time?
Yeah, I think recognizing the homeless issue, especially in Atlanta, has made me realize just how privileged I am. And how much I have, even when I don't think that I do. I think our culture is so materialistic that it's like, oh, I want this, I want that, and I don't have it. But a lot of those things aren't needs. And so I think a lot of it for me comes down to recalling his faithfulness in the past. And I think with homeless ministry, one of the most impactful things for me has been meeting people who don't have a home. They have very few material possessions, even necessities that they do need. You've heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. This hierarchy of needs, it begins with shelter and food and those basic physical needs. And then increasingly it goes up and that includes safety and other things. Meeting people who don't have the things at the very bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, yet they say, but you know what? God is good. And I remember a few months ago, are there two people in particular who I met was James. And I remember talking to them, and this was two completely separate conversations, but both of them would talk about their struggles and how hard it is to not have a home, to be living in a tent in the middle of Atlanta when it's really hot out or when it's really cold out. And then them saying, but I know that God is good. And it reminds me of that Lamentations 3 verse, yet this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. And that really makes me challenge my faith too, of like, how much do I really trust him with everything?
It's tough. I guess I just think about everything from the perspective of a non-believer. I'm like, how do we explain? Like, how do we begin to articulate as Christians why we believe and are able to say God is good despite what we see? Like, what is it that we're holding on to that is proof to us of his goodness? Which I think for me and for you probably, and for most believers, they would say it's the gospel. It's like the promise of what is coming in the next life, but also what we've received already spiritually here is so much richer than whatever material things we lack. And I feel almost foolish saying, like, as someone who has a nice house and everything that I need, it's easy to say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit's greater. But I think that they probably would say that. If they're saying God is good, there's something that they've received from God that suffice. With our eyes on those things, we're able to say God is good despite whatever is going on in our physical life. We are so certain, whether we can see them or not, that we can still praise him even in the midst of our suffering, you know?
Yeah.
What do they talk about when they say God is good? Like, what is it that they're referencing?
You know, I'm a part of this cohort right now through the Gospel Coalition, and we talk about how a lot of times we can see God either generally or specifically. And generally, that's more talking through nature and things that we see outside. We can see him through the creation of literally the world around us, the mountains, the sunsets. But also we can see him specifically, and that's by that, it's like in our own lives. We can see the things that he's doing and the ways that he's working. And I think that is hard, like for me as a teenager, when I claimed to be a believer, but didn't really trust the Lord, didn't practice any spiritual disciplines, didn't really know him intimately. I think saying God is good for me kind of was a vain, just like, oh yeah, it's this phrase that you hear, and thinking, okay, God is good. Why is he good? I think for me, it's like this sitting in the quiet and reflecting on how he's been faithful in the past. And I think that's really hard when you're not a believer to think, when is war going to end? If God is good, when is war going to end? Well, then it's like, well, why do wars start? They start because we're sinful people. And it's interesting just thinking about that and thinking about how the Lord is in the middle of even those things. He's faithful and he's working in the middle of his people. And I think that's so special just thinking about people like Moses. Adira, I think you might know this, but Moses is my Bible crush.
You said that.
Okay. I've told you this. You know that Moses is my Bible crush. I remember reading when he died, sitting in a Starbucks coffee shop.
You were sitting in a Starbucks coffee shop. Moses did not die in a Starbucks coffee shop.
No, I was, yes, just to clarify everyone, Moses was not in the Starbucks coffee shop. I was in the Starbucks coffee shop. And I remember reading about Moses' death, knowing he's going to die because he was human and everyone died, and just crying because I loved him so much. All that to say, I think about how the Lord used even Moses' brokenness. He had a speech impediment and God said, I'm the one that gave that to you, but I'm still going to walk with you. I'm going to give you Aaron to help you and to support you. I think of that now and how like the Lord blesses us with community to walk through difficult situations, and the way he just continues to carry us and to walk with us. And it's hard to wrap your mind around, I think, when you're not a believer. But I think when you read scripture and you see the ways that he has blessed his people, and even constantly over and over when the Israelites were unfaithful, he continued to show mercy. I think about those things and how he's constantly faithful regardless of whether we're faithful or not.
Those are facts.
Big facts. Facts.
Yeah. So how do you see your story and realizing these words that you were hearing your whole life were true? God is good. All these different things that you found out to be true for yourself. How did those lessons translate into this ministry? Why do you care so much about the houseless?
Yeah. One of the first memories I have of my heart kind of like breaking for the homeless community was in high school. This was also before I really put my faith in Jesus. I remember driving through downtown Macon with a couple of friends, seeing a man digging through the trash can, and he pulled out a burger. It was probably from McDonald's or something, and eat it. I was like, I've never had to do that. I've never had to wonder where my next meal is going to come from or where I'm going to sleep that night. And that's when it really clicked for me that that was a reality. And for the most part, I grew up in the suburbs where there wasn't a ton of homelessness. And so then visiting Macon, where there's homelessness, there's still less of it than Atlanta, but there's homelessness there. And I didn't see a ton of that growing up. And so I remember seeing that and my heart just like breaking and wishing I could do more. And it wasn't until a few years later that I was like, wait, I can do more. The Lord has empowered and equipped us and encouraged us and called us to be compassionate, to love people well. So fast forward a few years later in 2018, I went to Moe's with a friend. It was a first date, actually.
You went to Moe's on a first date?
I went to Moe's. It was in college.
It was college. All right, never mind.
It didn't work out. But we went to Moe's, and I'm pretty sure it was like the first Moe's in Atlanta. And so it's kind of in the middle of the city. And we were walking up, we were walking into this Moe's, we rode together. And there was a woman who was homeless outside. And she was asking us for money. And I was like, gosh, I'm so sorry. I don't have any cash to give you. But my heart just broke for her. I was like, she doesn't know where her next meal is going to come from. She doesn't know where she's going to sleep tonight. And I feel like the Holy Spirit really just prompted me to invite her to lunch. And so I didn't ask this guy. I did not pull him to the side. I just said, hey, do you want to come sit down and eat lunch with us? And so I love just like the way the Holy Spirit worked through that moment, because gosh, I wish I remembered her name. We bought her lunch. She sat down with us. And I remember her sitting across from us. And the whole time she was like pouring out her life story. The crazy thing was she spoke very quietly. Like she talked like this the whole time. I could barely hear her. But even after asking her to speak up a few times that I could hear her and listen intentionally, she was still really quiet. And you could tell she really just needed someone to talk to. It's possible that she hadn't talked to someone in months. Mm-hmm. And you think about how a lot of times people drive right past people who are homeless. They don't even make eye contact with them or acknowledge them. And how simple is it, even if you can't get them a meal, even if you are in a rush and you're not able to stop and have a full-on conversation, how special is it that you can roll down your window and say, hey, what's your name? Hey, how's your day going? Mm-hmm. And just like spark a conversation with them, because you might be the only person that talks to them for an entire week or for an entire month, mm-hmm. because we don't acknowledge them. And like these people are humans who have dignity, regardless of what they've done or who they are. Like they have dignity just because they are made in the image of God, mm-hmm. and they are loved by Him. I think that is something that the Lord really burdened my heart with. I know that the Lord speaks to people in different ways. And for me, a lot of times it's this, I cannot shake this idea. And it's like nagging me. You know that TikTok, dear, I don't know if you watch TikTok at all.
Are you calling me old, Adrian?
No, not at all. There's this TikTok sound and it goes, when all of a sudden there was this nagging. If anyone's listening and they know the TikTok sound, then you know. If you know, you know. But anyways, that's how I feel sometimes when it's like, I cannot shake this. I felt like the Lord really burdened me with that. And so I just tried to, from there, I kind of just tried to be more intentional. When I saw people who were homeless on the streets, I would say, okay, I have 10 extra minutes from wherever I'm headed, or maybe I don't have somewhere I need to be right now. And I can go say, hey, wait right here. Let me go grab you food. And that is completely the Lord. Every good thing is from the Holy Spirit and Him moving in and through us. And so fast forward to COVID and being in the city more and realizing, okay, there's a lot of homelessness. Almost every corner you drive past, there's someone who's experiencing homelessness, and a lot of them don't know where their next meal is going to come from. And so I was thinking about this and just kind of praying like, Lord, what should I do? There's got to be something bigger that I can do. And so as the month started to get cooler, it was about October, early November time in 2020, I was like, okay, these people are getting cold. It gets a lot colder in Atlanta than people think. And so I decided to start this fundraiser to purchase fleece blankets, and I called it Keep Atlanta Warm. And so what I did was I literally just posted on Instagram and Facebook and shared it with my family. And I said, hey, I'm raising money to purchase fleece blankets for people in Atlanta experiencing homelessness. That year, I was able to purchase 288 fleece blankets, which was awesome. And it was so special. And then what we did afterwards was place this big old bulk blanket order. And then I partnered with a local nonprofit called Frontline Response. Frontline Response is awesome, shameless plug, because what they do is they actually go out in vans and they bring blankets, they bring food, they bring whatever people have donated, and literally just have conversations with people. They go out and pray for people. They hand them a blanket. They let them know that they're loved. And the coolest thing about this organization is they know people's names. They come back to the same spot every week. And so it's really special what they do. And so that's what we did in 2020. I grabbed some friends. We also rolled up the blankets in ribbon. And it's just a small, like, special detail that we could do where instead of handing someone a blanket in plastic, it's like, oh, we tied this in a ribbon for you. And we pray over the blankets. And it's just really special. And then 2021, we did the same thing again. We were able to purchase 300 fleece blankets. And so it's really been special to see how the Lord has worked in and through this, the way it's impacted, you know, at least 588 people. It's just really been really special. And I'm really expectant that the Lord is going to move in it this year too.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So how many days are left in this year's fundraiser?
Oh, that's a good question. So we actually have exactly 1 week left of fundraising. And so I am raising money from now until October 21st. And then I'm gonna place a big old blanket order, and we're gonna get blankets out to people on November 10th with Frontline Response. So I've currently raised $939, which is awesome. But my goal is to raise $3,000 to purchase 300 blankets, and each blanket costs about $10.
All right. So how can people donate?
Yes, people can donate via Venmo. It's Keep ATL Warm. Or they can donate via Cash App. It's just Keep ATL. And yeah.
Okay. Is there any other way? Because I know that Cash App and Venmo are loved by young people, but I know some older folks who don't know what those are. Is there any way that you can donate besides?
Yeah, I do have a PayPal account. And it is just my email address. It is adrienakelly@gmail.com. adrienakelly@gmail.com.
I pray that people will feel moved to donate. I think this is exactly the sort of ministry that Christ spoke of when he talked about, there I am amongst the lowest. If you visit those in prison, you visit me, like clearly saying that that's what true religion is, that true religion cares for those who are vulnerable, the orphans and the widows. So I praise you, Adrian, for doing what you're doing. I know that it makes God's heart glad. You are caring for his children, and that's what we're called to do. So thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for coming on to share.
Thanks for having me, dear. Can I share one final encouragement?
Yeah.
Okay, even if you can't donate, if you see someone who is homeless and if you're driving down the road, just roll down your window and say, hey, ask them how their day's going. If the weather's nice, ask them how the weather's been treating them. Ask how you can be praying for them. And even those small conversations, even though it might be a 30-second conversation, those can make somebody's day.
Absolutely. It's very good. It's very true. Thanks, Adrian.
Thanks, Adira. You're the best.
I'll see you soon.
See you soon. Yep, it'll happen.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.